Thank you, Ray. What a wonderful account of that first Pentecost. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you so much that we have your word to describe to us these incredible events. And as we look now at that first day of Pentecost, we pray that that same Holy Spirit would be present here with us, helping us to understand and apply your word to our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as we've already said plenty of times, today is the day of Pentecost, the day in the church's calendar when we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit upon those first disciples and in turn the birth of the early church. Now, we know that prior to this event in Acts chapter 2, the disciples had found themselves in something of a limbo, hadn't they? They'd known the adventure of sharing ministry with Jesus over those previous few years. They had watched the kingdom of God springing to life before their very eyes. Then they'd gone from the despair of watching Jesus die on the cross, with all of the trauma that that brought, their hopes and dreams crushed, to the elation a few days later of seeing him rise from the dead and spending time with him after his resurrection. Talk about an emotional roller coaster that they had been on. And after all of that, Jesus had dropped the slight bombshell, perhaps, that he was off again. He was ascending to heaven to be with his Father, and leaving them with just the minor task of preaching the good news of who he is and what he's done to the whole world. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, in the previous chapter, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, we've got to remember, there's about 120 of them, okay, at this point. Not dissimilar number to us here. If I'd have been one of them, I'd have been thinking, right, good? Really? Us? Like, Jesus, do you know who we are, right? This fairly average bunch of men and women who are prone to getting daunted and confused and getting things wrong and messing things up. Like, have you really thought this through? But they waited as they were told, and they prayed as they were told. And the Holy Spirit came upon them as Jesus had promised them. And all of a sudden, this muddled bunch of average men and women become animated with the very life of Jesus. And in the space of a day, I mean, they are off with the task, aren't they? 3,000 people become believers that very day as the good news is preached. And as we read then through the rest of the book of Acts, people's lives are being transformed as the good news ripples out. And people put their trust in Jesus and join in the adventure. And that's because to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to know the presence of God and the power of God and to be drawn into the purposes of God. And those are the three things I want to look at briefly this morning. What it means to know the presence of God, the power of God, and to be brought into the purposes of God by the Holy Spirit. So firstly, to be filled with the Spirit is to know the presence of God. Having seen Jesus leave them and return to the Father, having had that time of waiting, can you imagine the relief they must have felt to know, oh, God is with us again, albeit in a different way to before? Now, of course, Jesus wasn't physically with them anymore. He wasn't a man they could see and touch. But the amazing thing is that in sending his Spirit, Jesus wasn't just beside them, but living in them, breathing his very life into them. God was now in many ways closer than he had been before. When Jesus walked the earth, he had taken on the limitations of humanity. He could only be in one place at one time. He could only have one conversation at a time. He couldn't be with every person, every moment of the day. Now the Spirit was given to every believer to fill them. And that meant God would be present with every single person, every single moment. What an extraordinary gift to know the presence of God in that way. And his presence with them changed everything, didn't it? As we see, as the story unfolds and the church explodes into life. I know from my own experience of receiving the Holy Spirit when I was 17, how very transformative that can be. I had grown up going to Sunday school and I knew all about God. I could tell you all the good, you know, stories from the Bible. But it was when some friends prayed with me at school, in fact, in the music block of all places, one Friday afternoon when they were talking to me about the Holy Spirit. And I said, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they prayed for me. And I can still remember that tangible sense all of a sudden of the love of God in my life like I had never known it before. And it wasn't a dramatic moment, but it was the days after that moment that my life changed, that I was filled with a joy and a peace that people around me honestly noticed. I can remember a few years ago seeing a video that a friend of mine posted on Facebook. It was a university friend. And they had a young son who had been deaf since he was born. But the video they posted on Facebook was of their son, 9 months old, being fitted with hearing aids for the first time. And honestly, it's one of those things I dare anyone to watch without crying because it's so moving. This little, tiny little baby heard his parents' voices for the first time in his life. And his face just broke into the most incredible kind of joy you've ever seen in a 9-month-old baby. And he just started giggling. And you could see him kind of looking all around him like, whoa, this is a whole new world I am in. You know, and in one sense, the world around him hadn't changed at all. But his ability to experience that world was completely transformed. And it struck me as a very beautiful illustration of what God does in our lives when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't open just our ears, but our souls, our lives, to experience his presence, to know him in a way that changes the way we interact with the rest of the world around us. And that's what we see through the book of Acts, the church exploding into life. And we still see that today. When people are filled with the Holy Spirit and their lives are changed. So to be filled with the Spirit is to know the presence of God with us. It's also to know the power of God. When we think about the images that are given in Acts chapter 2 to describe the Spirit's presence, they're not descriptions, they're physical things that accompany the Spirit's presence. Acts chapter 2 doesn't describe a gentle breeze blowing among them, but a violent wind. Not just little sparks of light, not a little candle like we have here, but tongues of fire. There's something very raw and untamable about the way that God comes among them on that first Pentecost. But it's important too to reflect on the consequences of what happens in the life of the church after that day, because I think it's the fruits of what we see following from Pentecost that show us the kind of power we are talking about. Power can be a wonderful thing, or it can be a very dangerous thing. We see all around us in the news all the time, don't we? The devastating effects of power when it is hoarded for personal gain and used against others. And we really sadly see that in the church sometimes too. Misuse of power breeds violence and division, and it creates fear and oppression. But that is the opposite of everything we see on the day of Pentecost. And beyond, when we talk about the power of God. God's power is rooted in love, and it can't do anything that contradicts love because God is love. So when the Holy Spirit comes in power at the same time, he is always loving, and the fruits of what he does will always be the fruits of love. You know, when we see Jesus coming to the earth, he empties himself of all and comes to serve. That's what God is like. He gives his power away, doesn't he? And the Holy Spirit comes not to gain power for himself, but to empower the whole church, every believer, with the resources that we need to be beacons of hope and light in the world. So there is no violence or division on the day of Pentecost. Rather, this incredible unifying moment as all the believers speak in different languages and people visiting Jerusalem from a whole host of other nations hear their own languages being spoken. It's kind of this reversal of Babel. If you remember the story of the Tower of Babel in Genesis, a kind of part of the fall, we see this separation and all these different languages resulting as people try and build a name for themselves. They try and reach God. It's a reversal of that and a foretaste of heaven as the barriers of race and language come down and people are brought together. And they begin to care for one another in the most extraordinary way as we see this community being built. Likewise, there's no fear or repression on the day of Pentecost, rather joy and freedom, so much so that people thought they were drunk. We all had a little chuckle at that point, didn't we? Imagine it must have been a fun place to be. That's the power of God, bringing unity, bringing community, joy and freedom. That's what the power of God does. And it's that same power that God wants to share with us and impart to us, the power to work for good and for love and for his kingdom. So to be filled with the Spirit is to know the presence of God and the power of God, and it's to be drawn into the purposes of God. We see really clearly, if we read on through the book of Acts, that the Holy Spirit was not given just so that people had a nice spiritual experience and then went home feeling warm and fuzzy. That's not to say that they didn't feel that, and it's not to say that we don't sometimes have a powerful experience when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. But there was so much more to it than that. The point is that God's people are animated with the very life of God in order to join in with the work of God. The result of Pentecost was that this band of bewildered disciples, plenty of whom were full of questions and doubts, were all of a sudden transformed into this energized, vibrant, dynamic, world-changing movement. One minute they're hidden away in the safety of their locked prayer room, and the next minute, Peter is preaching to thousands of people, and miracles are happening, and they have this boldness with which to share the good news. And that continues through the book of Acts, as the gospel is preached over and over again, as the disciples testify to the resurrection of Jesus and the love that that shows us in his death and resurrection for us, and the new life that he offers. And people are changed and set free and healed and transformed. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to draw us into what God is doing around the world to bring his kingdom about. And if you've read the book of Acts recently, you might notice that in some ways it doesn't really have a proper ending. It kind of leaves you hanging a bit. And I love that because the implication is the story has not ended. And we are a part of the continuation of that story that has continued through the last 2,000 years, right to this very moment. We have the same commission. Now, we might paraphrase it a bit differently, but we are called to be his witnesses in Richmond and in the UK and to the ends of the earth. And I really believe God wants us to give us a new passion and a new confidence this morning to share his love and his good news with our friends and our neighbours and our colleagues, It's the work of the church collectively, and it's the task of us individually, it's both and, to be sharing his love and his good news with those around us and to be bold in that. And wasn't it amazing to hear from Kevin from MAF this morning too, and to see a really practical way that we can play our part in the gospel going to the ends of the earth. Thank you so much for being with us, Kevin, and sharing some of those really moving stories of the change and transformation that is possible because of the work of MAF. We have the privilege of playing our part in that bigger global picture as well. Now, of course, the journey has not always been easy for the church. Throughout its life, she has faced persecution, she has known poverty and war, she has survived even pandemics, and many other challenges and times of uncertainty. But amidst all of that, the church's mission is never put on hold. And God's Spirit continues to work in us and through us. So as we read Acts 2 this morning, I hope we are reminded that we worship the very same God who wants to fill us with the very same Holy Spirit, so that we have the same knowledge of his presence and power with us, and that we are drawn into those very same purposes. Just as those first disciples waited and trusted and prayed, so we are going to trust and pray this morning that God would fill us afresh with his Holy Spirit. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18, Paul urges us to be filled with the Spirit. And you may have heard this before, the verb that Paul uses there is in the present continuous form, if you like your grammar. I'm not sure what that means, to be honest, but I'm told reliably. It means to go on being filled. It's not a one-off event. We go on being filled again and again. Go on being filled with the Spirit. And we need that every day so that we don't run dry and empty. So this is for all of us, whether we have prayed that prayer 100 times before, 1,000 times before, or whether we've never prayed it before, we can all this morning say, come, Holy Spirit, and fill me afresh. Whether we feel full of faith or whether we feel racked with questions and doubts, we can still pray that prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. God wants to meet with us, and he wants to fill us with his Spirit. He wants us to know his presence in our lives. He wants us to know his power. And he wants to draw us into his purposes, that we might be his witnesses here in Richmond, around this nation, and to the ends of the earth. Shall we pray?